You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Good morning. How are you guys? Doing okay? Good. It's good to be here this morning. Thank you for coming. And man, I don't know if we have any Michigan fans here, but I've been praying for you and your agony of defeat here in the last day or so. But anyways, I thought I'd just kind of chime in and add on, pile on, I guess, right? So anyways, it was a good game last night, but it's good to be here today, is it not? The Lord is good, and man, I don't know about y'all, but we had a great Thanksgiving, a good time with family, and it's just good. It was really good. So I hope yours was as well. So what we've been talking about in recent weeks is this idea of not being the hero. We've been focusing on a higher principle, have we not? And that higher principle is has been about being a hero maker and how this can make a difference in people's lives. And that's really what we want to see. Is that not right? We talk about life change around here and what life change means. And the truth is that without people stepping up and being and making an investment or taking a stand for someone, life change does not happen. The truth is, you're not here by accident or coincidence this morning. There was someone who took a stand for you, and that's why you're here. Is that not right? It may have been your mother. It may have been your father. It may have been a friend, a coworker. It may have been a cousin, a relative. But someone took a stand for you, and you're here today. And I just believe that in this world, this time that we're living in, God is calling us to rise up and to take a stand for other people. That's what this series is about. When you see this idea of being a hero maker, God is calling all of us. He's called all of us to be a part of the royal priesthood, if you will, right? He's called all of us to make a difference in leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And so with that in mind, I want to just kind of transition into this. And I'm not sure, well, the truth is, let me just say, the truth is I would not be here if there were not people who took a stand for me. I got a text this morning, and he has no idea what I'm talking about or what I'm sharing about, but it was about my spiritual sponsor, Jerry Heatherly. Jerry took a stand for me early on. I mean, I have a Bible, a children's Bible in my house, right? And it came from Jerry. And Jerry, who was quite a bit old, about 15 years older than me, gave me my first Bible. And that Bible is what my mom read to me when I was growing up. And Jerry, through the years, through my life, has made a difference in terms of praying for me, in terms of checking in on me, in terms of helping me draw closer to the Lord. I don't know where I would be without someone like Jerry and others who have taken a stand for me. And I appreciate this church. This church has taken a stand for our kids. It's taking a stand for our youth. I don't know about you guys, but man, I don't know if you've seen the back room, and we're going to highlight this here in the upcoming weeks, but the back room, the growth initiative that we talked about is nearly complete, folks, and we have a place for our students to share and to experience the things that God is leading this church to help them experience. Becca's leadership and Josh and others and the giving that you've been able to give is making a difference. I remember when we first moved into this building, one thing that we said that if we have to come in here on concrete floors, we're going to make sure that our kids have a nice, safe, practical space where they can learn and experience what it means to be a follower of Christ. And man, God made that happen, and he gave us carpet. Isn't that great? It's awesome stuff. He always provides. But the truth is God is calling the Shelter Church. He's calling all of us to step up and to make a difference in other people's lives. And my boys and my kids are no exception. What this church has done for my boys and now Ella and even Caitlin, they're being ministered to by people here at this church, as well as all the other youngsters and students. It's a beautiful thing. There's a guy named Brad Caldwell. Brad Caldwell built these risers that we're standing on. These are 2x4 platforms, and I believe they're 4 inches, 4 inches, and then plus the carpet that are on top. Brad came in, and Brad built this for us because we needed this. It's a long story, but we couldn't extend the platform out for zoning reasons and purposes. So Brad helped come up with this idea to build this platform. Brad also built that cross that you see right there. He felt like that we needed that in the auditorium, and I believe that's good, right? Brad built that for us. And not only did he do that, but Brad ministered to my young boys. Brad spent time with them. And I can tell you this, that he believed that what we are doing here and the way that we're ministering to folks, it was something that he related to. It was something that he related with. And he was single, and he never was married. And he kind of took my family in, my kids in, as an uncle or an adopted them, if you will. And I say all this because this week I took Tyne and Travis. We went hunting, and we go every year. We go to West Virginia. It's where we go. And I took the boys with me. We had a great time as usual. Both boys, they shot a deer. Isn't that cool? I guess that's cool, right? Some would say that's great. Others would. But both the boys, they took hunter safety courses with Brad. Brad spent time with them. He brought them into his home. He taught them how to shoot a gun. He took them to the range. He helped them understand what it was and what it was about. And it's not necessarily it's not about hunting, but it's about mentoring them and helping them better understand what it means to be a man. You know, not that hunting is manly, that's not what I'm saying, but just teaching them, being a positive male influence in their life as someone that loves the Lord and someone that is serious about following Christ. That was Brad. And they could talk to him, Brad, about anything, especially time. And 3 years ago, Brad passed away. And this week, he was talked about a whole lot. A whole lot. His memory lives on. Brad accepted this idea that he wanted to make a difference. And I don't know that he really knew what he was doing, but he is making heroes. He is an example of what we're talking about today as being a hero maker. Beth and I have been talking about a lot about this, and I'm hearing it more and more, and it's beginning to resonate with me, especially as we come into this whole Christmas holiday, as things begin, and Black Friday, and we got Cyber Monday, right? But this idea of things, so many times the holidays and Christmas, it's tied to what? Things, right? Things that we buy. And I could spend all my time with my kids and Cabela's and Field and Stream, and not just spend a lot of time there, but also spend a lot of something else, right? Buying things, okay? But I think so many times we can get caught in the store buying things and looking at things that we miss out on the experience, right? I mean, the whole idea of a place like Field and Stream and Cabela's is so that you can go out and experience something at a higher level, right? And I think so many times we can get trapped into the things that we miss the experiences. We can spend all our time looking at the things and miss the experiences. Here's the deal. I remember growing up with my family, and I would beg to say that you would remember the same, in the same way. I can tell you, Christmas after Christmas after Christmas, it was not the things that my parents could buy. I can't remember, maybe one or two things. They went overboard. But I can only remember one or two things that they gave me or bought me or shared with me. But what I remember most was the times that my dad took me fishing or the times that my mom and dad spent time with me and taking me on vacations, allowing me to have new experiences. Does that make sense, folks? I believe God's calling us to have experiences with folks. And it's through the experience that's where you begin to develop people and you begin to develop and raise up not just young folks or young people, forget about the age, but spending time with people and sharing an experience is a very important thing. Some of my most awesome experiences with life groups, with spending time with people in the life groups over the years, the ones that I've led and the ones I've been a part of, those are the ones, and we talked about this past week, that would what? Go whitewater rafting or go spend time four-wheeling or spend time in the woods or whatever. Spending time with people, sharing time with people, I believe is what God is calling, at least he's calling me to do. And at the same time, I see a big time problem with the church, a big time problem with those of us that are in the church, not just this church, but all churches. Time, this idea, this issue that I see is this idea of us not having time or spending time, being attentive to those in need of someone. Coming along beside us. I think we have too much going on. And God is calling us to carve out a little bit of time and to pay attention. You guys here with me today? Carve out a little bit of time and pay attention. So in continuation of what we've been talking about, this idea of taking a stand for someone, this idea of being a hero maker, here's what I want us to think about. I want us to think about the idea of taking a stand for someone. Who is it that God is calling you to take a stand for? Because God has called each and every one of us to someone. You know that, right? He's called each and every one of us to minister and invest in someone. So what I want to do is go back into the Bible and look at a story. And I want to share with you about someone who almost missed it, and yet still he was able to get it right. And what I want to also say is this idea of being a hero maker, it is so easy that it's hard. And I think that's where we miss it. Let's look at this, and we're going to see it in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, you're going to see not just how to make heroes, but you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. Look at 1 Samuel 2:26. It talks about this boy named Samuel, and Samuel had a mother. And before Samuel was born, Hannah, the mother, promised God that if she would give him a son, she would dedicate that boy or dedicate that son to the Lord. And so exactly that's what took place and happened. She was in great anguish, the scripture says, and she prayed, and God, she just knew, and she wanted a son so desperately. And God brought forth this son, and she took him to the priest Eli to serve as she had promised the Lord. And that's where we see in 1 Samuel 2:26. Meanwhile, the boy grew up. He grew taller and grew in favor with the Lord and with the people. And here what I want you all to understand is see this as younger people in the faith, right? See it as that. While our children and student ministries are incredibly valuable to all of us, and while there's a need for us to serve, for each one of us to take on someone like my kids, there's a bunch of kids over there that need someone to take them on. Right? See it in that way and in that light. But also, I want you to also see it as someone anyone who potentially is younger in the faith. Someone who has not been brought up with the privileges that you've been brought up with. Someone who doesn't quite understand God like you understand God. And I'm talking to a lot of y'all, because there's a lot of us in here this morning who knows God. And I believe this. I believe that while we know God, we're falling short at times in sharing God with other people. You agree with that? Just say, right on, Ryan. Right? And there's reasons for that. But look at 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 11. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. This was a great honor and privilege. Eli didn't have to have Samuel to come along beside him. But what I believe is that God brought Samuel to Eli, and Eli began to see in Samuel something. He began to see in Samuel something that maybe Samuel didn't quite see in himself. And Eli brought him in. He brought him in into the closest areas, into the backmost parts of this tabernacle where Eli lived. And in those days, it says in verse 3, the messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. It was a dark day. In verse 2, one night Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. And the lamp, it says, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. There was something in Samuel that drew him to the presence of God, and that's where he was. Eli began to see that. I believe that Eli prompted Samuel, began to share with Samuel that this was where God rests. This is where God dwells. And Samuel wanted something from that. Samuel began to desire the instruction and the teaching that Eli was giving him. Sometimes we just need to direct people to where God is. I believe that people want to know where God is. And it's our job to help direct them to where he is, to where he dwells. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping there in the tabernacle near the Ark of the Covenant. And suddenly the Lord called out and said, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? And he got up, and where did he run? He ran to Eli. Verse 5. He got up and he ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? And he says, I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel, verse 6, and Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? And I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Does this sound familiar? At least it doesn't matter. It's the way it works in my house. When you got four of them, it's kind of crazy, you know. They all get up three times. So you take four times three, that's 12 times, you know. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad, there's something in my room, right? Go back to bed. Eli kept saying, go back to bed. Go back to bed. This reminds me of tucking in my kids. And in all of that, Eli was allowing Samuel to share in his experience. He was there with him. Eli was present in Samuel's life. Who are you present with? And you know, this is not just a call to say, hey, folks, we would like to see more people volunteer in our children's. That's not just what this is about. What this is also about is for us to understand that there are people who are younger in the faith that want to understand God, that want to know God, and the only way they're going to come into grips with this, the only way they're going to better experience it is if we are there to help point them back to God. Eli was making himself present. He was making himself available. Verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Verse 7, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. Folks, there are a whole lot of people who have not had a message from the Lord. It took me growing up in the church to understand what a message from the Lord was about. We used to have a guy named Dick Howe. Dick Howe would stand in the back and he would give a testimony. And Chris would remember Dick Howe. Chris, you remember Dick Howe? He'd stand in the back and he would share a testimony of what God was doing in his heart and in his life. There was a lady named Hazel Ashburn. And Hazel Ashburn, her testimony, the testimony that rings in my ears even today, is this testimony that she wanted to be so close to God that she could hear God whisper. Folks, this goes back 40 years for me, 45 years for me. How do I know that? Because Dick Howe stood at the door and made me feel important. Because Hazel Ashburn taught my Sunday school classes and she poured into all of us. She was there for us. She shared with us. I grow with concern. There needs to be more of me and more of us sharing our faith with other people. And here's the thing. It comes sometimes as a surprise. It comes out of nowhere. Eli, it came out of nowhere for him. Samuel's coming to him. He had no idea. At first, he just didn't see it. He wasn't fully realizing the magnitude of the situation. This past week, it nearly happened to me. So we're going and getting our hunting cameras, and we're on a four-wheeler, and there's Casey. I just married Casey and helped my buddy Casey Stone King, and a young boy, 21 years old. He just got married, and him and I have had some really good talks, and he's just an awesome young man. And that's who I hunt with, he and his dad. And then Casey has a buddy named Corey. And Corey has had some troubled family past and situations. And I will say this, Corey is an incredible young man. Corey's a wonderful young man. But Corey didn't grow up in the church like Casey or like me. And so the opportunity opened itself up for me to share with Casey or Corey right before we left something very simple, just a simple truth, a little nugget that I could give and offer him. And it's so easy sometimes to miss. And in sharing this kingdom principle with Corey, how many of those do I really miss? Folks, God is calling us. The only way that we're going to make a difference in this world, the only way that this church is going to continue to move forward and even move forward with greater momentum like I believe God wants, God is calling us to get people to better understand Him and how He loves them and how He died for them and how He wants a relationship with them. Who is God putting in your path? Who are you missing? God is calling all of us. He was calling Eli. Eli was a hero maker, and I believe he didn't even realize it. Here's what we all need to realize, that this is not about Eli, and that this is not about me, and that this is not about you. This is about hurting, dying, empty, lost people who want to know and need to know about God. This is about pointing Samuel to the one who it's about. And so here's the truth. Do I like when my kids look at me and I know that they love me and maybe want to do what I do or want to be like me? Yeah, I guess it is kind of flattering. But that's not what the hero maker is. The hero maker is not about making people like you or making people like me. A hero maker is about making people like Jesus. God knows that, man, we've got enough of me in this world, right? And you can chuckle about that, but the truth is God knows that we got enough of you in this world. God is not calling us to create more me's and more you's. He's calling us to create more him's. Does that make sense? And the only way we create more him's is when we direct and point people to him. That's what a hero maker is. A hero maker. We want people to be like Jesus. Jesus is the real hero. A standard that cannot compare with any of us. Eli had, he had this going for him. He wanted Samuel to hear from God. He wanted him to be like the Lord and not be like his family. Eli, and he had a bad, messed up family. You can read about it. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and chapter 3, his family was screwed up, man. Dysfunction at the junction. And they were all preacher's kids, right? Granted, don't speak that kid. Or don't speak that around my wife. She does not take very well to that label, right? But at the same time, there was a messed up family, right? And Eli wanted them to wanted Samuel to be like, right? To be like Jesus. Verse 9. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. And verse 10, "And the Lord came and called as before, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel replied, 'Speak, your servant is listening.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel.'" This was big news, man. Big news. Every great move of God has had hero makers preparing the way. God is calling us to be hero makers. The move of God is going to come from those that you minister to. It's going to come from those that we're pouring into. The move of God is something God wants. He wants us to understand. He wants us not to miss. He wants us to make a difference by pointing people, sharing in experiences, and pointing people to Jesus. 1 Samuel 3:19-21, it says this, "And Samuel grew up. The Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacles. And hope and prophecy and the anointing of kings and the position that Samuel assumed was something of great authority as he ministered to people in the land in that day and time." See, I think there is a deduction in our role, in my role. And that deduction is to focus on a much smaller niche. If a difference is going to be made, if you're going to be a part of that difference is going to be you ministering to one or two. You making a difference in the life of someone. You know, I look at the church I grew up in, and I look at all of the people that came out of that church, my age and older, and my age and younger, that are now serving on the mission field, that have planted churches, that are pastoring, that are involved in missions, that are involved in some sort of community service, that are making differences in their workplace, that are going out amongst them and sharing the gospel. Folks, it is literally in the hundreds. The health and vitality of a church is not how many butts we have in these chairs. It's how many people that we're able to send out, pointing people back to Jesus, sharing an experience and pointing people back to Jesus. God help us. How well are we doing, church? How well is the first service doing? Are we coming and filling a seat? Sometimes, sometimes not. Or are we getting to know someone and sharing in their life and sharing in their experience and sharing with them faith? There was this dude named Thomas in the New Testament. And Thomas was trying to figure it out. He, like many of us, he was a big time doubter. And he doubted everything, even himself. And here is how it went down. In John 14, 5 through 6. "No, we don't know, Lord," said Thomas. "We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way?" I believe that this is the question. This is the question that they are asking. This is the question that they are asking at your workplace. This is the question that they are asking that are youth and students and people that are younger than us. They're asking this question. "We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, and he tells all of us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. All we have to do is point them to Jesus. All we have to do is share in experience with them and point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus. Here's the truth, man. When I sit down and talk to folks, I try to offer this disclosure. I have no answers. I don't have the answer. But what I do know is who does have the answer. Does that make sense? I know that Jesus has the answer. Brad did this for my boys. He pointed them to Jesus. And not only did Brad do this for me, but what's cool is that one day my boys are going to do this for someone else. What's cool too in all of this is this idea of the chain reaction. I'll tell you this story here and then we'll close. The story this week was a conversation I had with someone I love very dearly, a good friend of mine. And he was sharing with me how he knows this person and this family and what they're going through, this couple, what they're going through. And he didn't get into the details, but he says, "Man, Ryan, they don't have anyone like I have with others and like I've had with you." And he said, "I just feel really bad for them because they don't have anyone speaking into them." And as he was sharing, the Lord quickly spoke to me that they do have someone. They have him. And I think that the devil, the enemy, tries to put limits on our beliefs, limits about ourselves, like, who are we to make a difference in this world? Who are we to make any kind of difference? Man, I am no different than anyone in this room. But thank God there were people that made a difference for me. And one of those people that made a difference for me was this young man's mother. She gave me this Bible, another Bible. And it was a gift that she gave to help me better understand the scripture. That's kind of that chain reaction. When you begin to minister to people and share with people, you never know how that's all going to come back around. Linda did not know that after she would pass, that God would keep me in fellowship and relationship with her son and daughter-in-law. Folks, there's eternal principles in all of this. God's word does not return void. When you begin to share in experiences and point people to Jesus, man, you just don't know where it's going to go. And so this question for you, church, is simple. Are we going to allow the enemy to limit our beliefs and the impact that we can make with our friends and family and our community and the 60,000 people that drive by this building every day? Are we going to allow the enemy to put limits on our belief in being a hero maker? Or are we truly going to step up and fulfill God's call in our life? Let's all stand. Father, we ask that you would help us. That you would help us. We ask that you would help us to make a difference. I ask, God, that right now, in our closing moments, 9:58 is the time. I'm staying tight on time to honor those that are here and honor those volunteers that are working with our young people this morning. And in the time that we have left, I ask that you would put people on our minds right now, that you would put a person on our mind, that you would put people on our mind. People, God, that you know that you want us to minister to. Minister to by sharing an experience, by going and grabbing a cup of coffee, by getting to know who it is that we're talking to. God, help us. Who is it, Father, that you would have us to make a difference? Who is it, God, that you want us to be a hero maker for and to? God, help us. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, this church, God, would not be limited to the belief that we're less than, or that we're incapable, or that we are unable, or that we don't have the goods. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. And I ask, God, that you, Lord, would do what I can't do. And that is motivate and inspire and awaken us, just as you awakened Eli. Awaken us to make a difference. Because we know, Father, that you are the way and the truth and the life, and that no one can see the fullest extent of you without coming to know and experiencing the life-changing relationship that we can have with Jesus. There's a prayer. I want to show you this prayer and then we'll go. I want to read this out loud, and if this is something that resonates with you, then I want you to read it with me. So let's look at it. Father, thank you for Jesus, who allowed us to see the greatest sermon ever demonstrated. That was his life. That was his testimony. That was who he was. I am looking to you for life in Jesus' name. Allow me to share with you an experience today. Allow me to hear from you. And I pray that, and Father, help me to be attentive and willing to take a stand for someone. Lead me to who I should be sharing with. If that's you this morning, let's pray that. Let's pray that from the top, all right? Father, thank you for Jesus, who allowed us to see the greatest sermon ever demonstrated. And I am looking to you for life in Jesus' name. Allow me to share with you an experience today. Allow me to hear from you. Father, help me to be attentive and willing to take a stand for someone. Lead me to who I should be sharing with in Jesus' name. And help me to be a hero maker. In all these things I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this morning and all these people. In Jesus' name.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.